I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, he's got a place prepared for us. Hallelujah, he wants to wrap us in his arms. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We praise you, God. We praise you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Hallelujah. So good to be in God's house this morning. Hallelujah. I believe that God has a place prepared for all of us if we will receive it, if we will desire it and pursue after it. Hallelujah. It's not his will that any perish. It's his will that all men come to repentance. Hallelujah. Beautiful place to come to where you can leave all your problems and your troubles and failures at the foot of the cross and allow the precious blood of Jesus Christ to cover you. Hallelujah. I'm glad for a church where God's here, God's working. Hallelujah. So good to feel his presence here this morning. We're so happy for everyone that is here today. Happy for all of our guests that are here. Good to see Candace here today. And I think her mother's here today. So good to see her here today. God bless her. Sister Denise. And hallelujah. It's good to have Annie here today. Where's she at? Hallelujah. There she is. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. She cooked some of the best greens I've ever eaten in my life yesterday. Hallelujah. And cornbread. And anyway, she is just a delightful, precious lady. And this is Sister Siobhan's grandmother. And we're so glad she's here today. So glad she's here today. And everybody else, hallelujah. God bless you so much. So good to see everyone in the house of the Lord. We want you to leave enriched. We want you to leave with the blessing of the Lord upon your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so I want to give you something to take home with you today and think about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took of them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Hallelujah. In the midst of all of this, there were some things that had highly displeased the Lord. And he sent out this warning, My spirit shall not always strive with man. It does tell us something positive here, and that is that he is a God that strives with us. He's a God that reaches for us. It's not a fast opportunity or fast operation, but it's the desire of God to save the whole world, save everybody. But he said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I want to tell you that one verse right there, there's no way that we can even imagine how enormous sin had become. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No way to imagine the degree of rebellion and sin that had come during this day that God was ready to destroy the whole earth. Actually, he did destroy everyone but Noah and his family. They were saved because they had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As bad as the world is today, we have not reached that point. They reached a point where it was a demanded thing that must be done. And man's sin had reached a boiling point that required the judgment of God. That hasn't happened yet. I'm glad it hasn't happened yet. It happened in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But it hasn't happened yet. But the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord gave a warning. He's not always going to strive with man. Romans chapter 11 and verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Now, I will say this, there
It's very, very plain that while to a whole society we have not reached that point, there are those individuals that have reached that point and do every day. And judgment does come upon them. And so we see the goodness of the Lord. We see that goodness of the Lord, and we see the severity of God, or hopefully we do. Hallelujah. How many is glad for a good God? How many is glad that his first agenda of a business is to save and to set free and to forgive to the uttermost? Hallelujah. I want to talk about when God's patience expires. Hallelujah. I'm not going to just talk about that, but that's my subject today. When God's patience expires. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Speak to us. Talk to us. Deal with us today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can be seated. It was a while back at a funeral service that I was somewhat taken back by the message that the cold preacher had to deliver. He explained to everyone that there was no problem, there was no reason to be afraid when it came to death, and to the man that had passed from this life. He went on to say that we should see death the way it really is, and instead of being a terrible, terrible thing, death is a passageway into eternal life. He continued to talk about it and explained that in no uncertain terms that whenever a person dies, they automatically go to heaven. God welcomes them in. It's not near as bad as you think it is. It's a wonderful place. Of course, we know that heaven is a wonderful place, but we also know that not everybody is going there. It was a terrible representative thing for this pastor to try to convince everybody that we're all going to heaven. Nobody's going to be lost. Maybe the devil and Judas Iscariot, but we're all headed to a wonderful, beautiful place. What brings this idea on in some people's mind is they are presumptuous toward God and toward his mercy. They would take advantage of and do everything that their sinful soul would desire for them to do. And believe that, you know, God doesn't care. God is not concerned. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. I'm glad he is that. I'm glad that his love is a wonderful power that's made available to us that we can receive, that he can embrace us, as the song was saying today. And that it's not his will that any perish, but it's his will that all men come to repentance. Hallelujah. But it's a terrible thing to try to make our world believe that everybody's going to heaven. Live the way you want to live. Get as wicked as you want to get. And when you die, you're going to go to heaven. I'm glad that God's primary job in the earth and his greatest desire is to seek and to save that which is lost. I understand that he does not have pleasure in the death of the wicked. He never applauds the worst sinful man when he dies and goes to hell and says, I'm glad he's there. He's a God that came to this world and wrapped his self in the work clothes of human flesh and lived his life and died and suffered for all the shame and all the sin that had ever been committed and would ever be committed if people by faith would lay hold to the promise that God has given us. But the Bible says, behold the goodness. Hallelujah. Isn't there something beautiful about this great salvation and the love of God, the goodness, the anxiousness of God to save and deliver? You got problems, we've got a God that's got an answer. And it really doesn't matter where you're at today. It doesn't matter how deep in sin that you might be today. There is a remedy. And the only requirement is to submit yourself to God and confess your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Hallelujah. That's the goodness of God. But in this scripture, the Bible tells us we need to also see the severity of God in Romans 11 and 22. Hallelujah. There's a beautiful goodness, and there are those, according to this scripture, that was rejoicing in this goodness. But he then warned, if you continue in this goodness, His goodness, likewise, if you don't do that, you will be cut off. The goodness and the severity of God. Psalms chapter 7 and verse 11 tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day. Just because God does not bring judgment on us today does not mean that God is not upset. But there's a God that is very disturbed when people give themselves to sin. That was what happened in the days of Noah. That was what happened in Genesis chapter 6. Hallelujah. It was a time that they were just challenging God's goodness and God's mercy. And in the midst of all of their ungodliness, there was a God that was striving. There was a God that was reaching. There was a God that desired to communicate. There was a God that tried to get the attention of people on a death march to an endless eternity. Hallelujah. God was striving with them and reaching for them. And their response seemed to be, God's always going to be there waiting on me. God's always going to be there loving me. And God's going to protect me. But I want to tell you, the clock of God's mercy is wound but once. And I want to tell you that God sets a time limit on His mercy. Hallelujah. God warns us that His Spirit will not always strive with a man. Hallelujah. He warns us, hallelujah, that our attitude towards sin needs to be right, that it's the most deadly thing that is known to mankind. Hallelujah. Sin that it might appear as sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. This was a generation that didn't look on what they were doing as really a disturbing thing. They had become so hardened by sin that they felt like that God would always be there in all of His calling, in all of His reaching, that He would always be there. Hallelujah. But the warning is put out. Hallelujah, that they needed to repent. They needed to repent. God repented that He had made man on the face of the earth. Thank God that He found one that had found grace in the eyes of the Lord by the name of Noah. Hallelujah, but God speaks and God seeks the hearts of men. Hallelujah. How foolish the theology that man is always evolving to something better. And he's kind of like on his way, on the stairway to heaven. Hallelujah. And everything's going to turn out all right because man desires God. Really, it's not that way. Man has separated himself. And he has put a wall around himself concerning the things of God. It takes God coming and wooing. We do not find God because we're searching Him. We find God because He is searching us. Hallelujah. Man left to himself would be a godless creature. Hallelujah. But because of a God that pursues and a God that reaches and a God that wants us to be saved,
Hallelujah. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had sinned. And hallelujah, they didn't come pursuing after God. They went and tried to hide themselves. Hallelujah. In their hypocrisy, they tried to hide their nakedness. And they tried to get away from the voice of God. But the Bible says that in the cool of the evening, the voice of God came calling and wooing. I believe that's what God's doing in this building today. I don't care what you have done in the past. God doesn't care what you've done. He's interested in you waking up and realizing, I need God more than I need anything else in my whole life. I cannot live without Him. I cannot go on without Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Man blasphemes His holy name, and man speaks against God and does everything they're big enough to do, and yet God calls. That was what God was using Noah for 120 years. Hallelujah, when a society had already been condemned and the verdict had already been given. Hallelujah. In 120 years, God postponed and God waited and God lingered. And Noah preached and he said, there's a storm coming. Hallelujah. The verdict had already been given, but yet the patience of God said, wait just a minute. Let's hold on another year, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years. 120 years. Hallelujah. The patience of God waited because God does not delight in judgment, but He delights in mercy. And so the Holy Ghost comes to move our conscience. The Holy Ghost comes to preach, hallelujah, in its own way, hallelujah, how that we need to repent. He gives us a conscience inside of us that speaks to us, and the happenings of life around us try to get our attention. Hallelujah. It seems like even the most wicked somewhere in their life, in the midst of all their circumstances, they get a glimpse of God. Sometimes the face of God is seen in the face of death when a loved one passes away, and it's a startling thing, and all of a sudden God begins to speak a language that we can understand. Hallelujah, the music of life is turned down, the volume, to where we can realize that we're going to die one of these days and we're going to need God. Hallelujah, tragedies and circumstances and troubles and situations arrive. Dreams in the night that God sends people that are sitting right here and tries to awake you and let you realize you've gone a long, long way, and you forgot me for a long, long time. Days and weeks and months pass by, and you don't pray. But I want to tell you, I'm still at the door, and I'm knocking, and I love you. Hallelujah, I love you. Hallelujah, with man's imaginations full of wickedness and evil continually. Hallelujah, wonder of all wonders that God would continue to be patiently waiting and calling, that God would continue. Hallelujah, hoping that on a Sunday morning like this today, something could awaken your life and you could realize, hey, I've been asleep for a long, long time. It's time for me to get up and get to the altar and find God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But there comes a time when patience runs out. It's not a time that God loses His temper. Hallelujah. He never loses His temper. He waits and He waits and He waits. And finally, it was in the days of Noah, and it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says in the end time, it will also be like that in the end of time, that all of a sudden judgment will not be withheld. Time will come and judgment will arrive, and mercy and peace and patience will pass us. There comes a time when sin gets so great that because of the holiness and the purity of God, it is demanded that something happens. That's what happened in Acts chapter 6 when a flood came.
And when the rain began to fall and these people that had cursed God and blasphemed God was clawing against the walls of that ark and beating on a door that God had shut. And all of a sudden the climate changed and God's patience and period of time was over with. Oh yeah, God postpones things. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16, the Bible says that God told Abraham, the iniquities of the Amorites are not full yet. The cup's not full. I'm not going to allow judgment to fall on these people, as wicked as they are, until the cup is full. He don't lose his patience. He works with you and he tries to get a hold of you and you become more of a beast than a human being. And all of a sudden, somewhere in it all, the door is shut and patience is expired and it's over with. Now, do you think I enjoy preaching this morning? I don't enjoy it. But I've come today to this pulpit to just let you know that this is time sensitive. God's not going to always strive for the person. Don't argue with God when you look in the Bible and realize, I need to repent, because the Bible says, repent. That means an about face. That means a turnaround, a 100% turnaround to where you're headed in the opposite direction. I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because he's the only Savior of the world. I'll not find God anywhere else but in the person of Jesus Christ. And if I don't respond to that, if I sit back and argue and say, well, not today, not today, I want to tell you, it's like God's giving you a shot called conviction, and it lives with you days and weeks and months and years. Until finally you become immune. You keep pushing it off. Something is simple. I want to tell you, I got a woman in the graveyard over here that repented and she got the Holy Ghost, but she kept on putting off baptism. And the last service she was with us in the little old building down there, she said, you know, I need to be baptized. I need to be baptized. Well, we can baptize. Well, not tonight, but I'm going to tell you, maybe next service. And between I believe it was a Sunday and a Thursday night, she went out into eternity to meet God. Not because she was some horrible, horrible creature, but she didn't obey the word of God. There's some business that needs to be taken care of this morning. If you're in sin, you need to repent of your sins. You need to realize with everything going upside down in the world we're living in, you ought to already be in the altar. Hallelujah. Hadn't you been reading the news? Don't you know that there's uncertainty like you have never felt in all your life of what's going to happen? We got violence in America. They're shooting and killing each other. Gangs and drugs and alcohol, and right here in this area, I look up and I see somebody that I hadn't seen in about 5 or 6 months, and I'm shocked at what I see. They look like they've aged 10 years because of an addiction. The devil's got his claws in them. Instead of coming to the Savior and saving themselves and their little darling children, it's like they're just going to rock along until all of a sudden God turns the light out. Business is over with. And you never feel the call of God anymore in your life. I'm going to tell you, today's the day of salvation. And now's the accepted time. Let's stand today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. What are you going to do with the word of the Lord? What are you going to do with what you're feeling inside of you? I'm going to tell you this. God makes a great effort that you feel what you need to feel inside of you. And I'm believing today that God's going to speak to somebody. They're going to realize I've got to get things right. Because judgment's right here on us. It's on us. I don't want to be off doing something stupid and with my life, with the last seconds ticking off the clock of mercy. Let's bow our heads today. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that your presence and your power, hallelujah, and your word will do something that I could never do. Go beyond my efforts today, God, in trying to verbalize and preach from my heart today, God. Oh, God, you know the number of people that have gone to eternity, God, that I preach to and reach for. Thank God for those that are saved and some were made a turnaround, some of them in the last moments of their life. And great grace and truth, hallelujah, shine the light upon them. And when they died, they went into a beautiful, beautiful place that God had prepared for them. There's others, oh God, that are in hell and in eternity, and no sermon will ever get them out of where they're at. They had their day. They had their opportunity. They had their hour of the patience and love of God calling them. Pray today, God, that somebody will obey what they know to be true. Hallelujah. And fill these altars and find you through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what repentance can do in somebody's life here today. Oh, what repentance can do. What the name of Jesus and baptism can do today. Oh, the infilling of the sweet Holy Ghost. Oh, God, with the sun shining outside, this could be somebody's last call. I pray, God, keep the lights flashing. Hallelujah. We're still in business. We want you to be saved. We want you to go to heaven. We don't want you to be left behind. Hallelujah, hallelujah. More than anything else in importance, hallelujah, is your soul ready to meet God? Hallelujah, are you ready to meet God? If something happened between now and Sunday night and you found yourself in eternity, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm looking for earnest prayers today. I'm looking for people that will confess, repent. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a well of living water that's still flowing. Hallelujah. Some of you've tasted that wonderful water. It's time to get a fresh taste of water. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I pray, God, I pray, God, I pray, God, I pray, God, I pray, God. Hallelujah, saints of God, reach out and pray. Hallelujah, let the love of God that's in your heart, God, flow into those that are around
above
you.
All else,
above all else, gotta be saved.
I must be saved.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, I must be
saved. Come on, folks. You gotta be saved. You got a family.
Or above.